Today on Real Radio.
You and I cannot sin or have not sinned to the point so great that it's greater than God's ability in His blood to cleanse us from that sin. There's no sin so great that His blood cannot scrub away. And so He says, if we walk in the light, as He's in the light, we're going to have fellowship.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the first New Testament letter written by the Apostle John. In verses 5 through 7 of this first chapter, interestingly enough, the apostle makes known that he and the others were eyewitnesses, essentially using similar language found in his gospel, that Jesus is the light, and we believers are to walk in that light and will therefore have fellowship with our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a study called Fellowship with God.
Interesting, though, is any of Noah's sins mentioned in the Bible? Isn't that neat? No, none. I like that. God just doesn't, He's just not into picking on sin. He saw Noah's heart. Noah's ark. Noah's ark and heart was for the Lord. But he wasn't sinless. Doesn't that help you? It helps me. People want you to be sinless. Don't your family members want you to be sinless? You notice that, like at Christmas or holidays? Or thought you were a Christian. You know? Hey! They watch you like a hawk, you know. Somebody was telling me before they were in a family setting and everything was just going crazy. And the guy was really trying to pray for the meal and get everything under control. And nobody would listen to him and stuff. And he wanted to say, everybody just be quiet! And let's cry! And someone had told him, what? Bro, man, you yell at us. Better go to confession. And you know, that just, it's like, You know, you don't need to be reminded of that. You deal with that every day, the flesh, the struggle, and the spirit. And hear the prodding of the world, or the prodding of the non-believer to the believer and against the believer. To walk in the light, it's not easy. It's difficult. It's hard. Some of you, I'm looking around right now, there's some of you that are going, you've made a stand, you're standing for the Lord, and you're really getting hit by your school associates or your professional associates that are around you. They're really hitting you hard because you said, I'm going to make this department stand for Christ. We're going to have integrity. And man, are you getting it. They're turning up the heat, trying to find something to get you out now of that leadership position in companies. Had a man talk to me last Sunday. Pray for me, Pastor Jack. I made a stand in this governmental agency, and man, have they come after me. And just the vengeance that they're directing on the person of Jesus Christ, and they're laying it on this man. All because God promoted him, and he said, this is what we're going to do. And if you were the owner, or if you were the operator of that area, you'd say, yeah, let's have people that are integrity and of heart and want to do this, and it just doesn't work that way. Sad to say, this world is so corrupt. But are we going to walk with God? Yes, we have to be on the same page with Him. Yes, we have to confess the profession of knowing Him if we truly do know Him and walk in the light with Him. And the Holy Spirit will give us the power to do that thing if we'll just give God the chance. And I want to encourage you tonight, if you're struggling, you don't have to be a super saint to be on God's list of those lifestyles of the righteous and faithful. I mean, if you look at that list in Hebrews chapter 11, God chooses to point out all of the good that these people operated in their faith and deleted and left out any of their bad. When you read about Abraham in Hebrews 11, it's wonderful stuff, but when you read about Abraham in the Old Testament, there's some serious flaws here and there along the way. But God doesn't point that out. Why? Jesus took it. You won't forget it. Your family won't forget it. God has forgotten it. I'm going to go with God. His opinion counts. In Amos chapter 3, verse 3, it applies perfectly regarding being on the same page. Can two walk together unless they're in agreement? That goes for the Christian in this verse and his God. Are we wrestling with God or are we walking with Him? And then look at also verse 6, there's the practice of fellowship, the profession of fellowship and the practice of fellowship. He says that if we say that we have fellowship with Him, but walk in darkness. This is a tremendous thing. This means that the Christian, he's saved. He's born again. He is walking, though he has strayed. He is in darkness. He's walking in sin, which is, you don't really walk in sin. You crawl in sin. You walk in the light. You fall on your face in the darkness. What's wrong here? This is what Paul talked about in Corinthians as being the carnal believer. They have no power. They're led by their emotions. They feel their way through their Christian experience or in their backslidden state. They have emotionally based theology rather than biblically based theology. There's this almost constant roller coaster experience in their life. They're saved on Sunday afternoon because they've been blessed by the message, but Monday night they need to get back to church on Wednesday to get saved again. Why? Because they're led by their flesh. They're Christian. They're struggling through the Christian walk. They're no longer filled, empowered with the Holy Spirit, though the Holy Spirit lives inside them. They're struggling. And so he says, if this person says he knows God and walks in darkness, he's going to say here, he doesn't practice the truth. Let's look, I'm going to give you some verses about this light. Listen to these passages. These are powerful. Colossians 1:12 says, give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Isn't that great? Who are we? The saints in light. That's a good name for a team. Some kind of team. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us, transferred us, communicated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That's awesome. 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for it is God who commanded light. Listen to these words associated with light. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a verse! Have you ever looked at the book of Revelation into Jesus' face that's described? What does it look like? The sun shining in its full strength. That's the face of Jesus. That's awesome. This is not in my notes, but this is a freebie. In eternity, the scripture says that in eternity, it's light and it's a continuous day. It's called the day of God in your Bible. The day of God is eternity. That's awesome. It's a realm that you and I have never experienced yet. We're going there. It's great. This causes your troubles to shrink, doesn't it, when you think like this? So refreshing. I need this. Ephesians 5:7. Therefore, do not be partakers with those of the world. For you were once in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Can you say that in your life, what you used to be? Oh, that's what I used to be like. And finally, the third P in verse 6 is the word, and I had to stretch this one. The word is, ready? Prevarication. To prevaricate, you know what that means? It's to lie. To prevaricate is to lie. A prevaricator is a liar. A mechanic of lies, even. Satan is the father of what? Lies. This word here, the prevarication of fellowship, is the lying in fellowship. To lie while in fellowship. But it's not true fellowship. It means to be in the gathering right here, right now. Not with God. In other words, I'm just making this up. I'm not pointing my finger at anybody. But let's say a moment ago we were singing songs and someone's got their hands lifted and all, and you got a well-worn Bible or whatever the case might be, but you are a prevaricator. You live in a lie. It's not that you tell a lie. You live in it. You live a lie. And Mark Twain says, I'm going to botch it up. I can't remember exactly how he says it. But he says, there comes a point in time when a person tells a lie, that when he tells a lie so much, he's no longer, he's not a liar because he tells a lie. Mark Twain says, he now becomes both the lie and the liar. I like the way it's been put by a recent commentator, and that is, when a person begins to walk in darkness, yet they try to get others to think that they're walking in the light, that they themselves begin to believe their own propaganda. It's been said that a person who tells lies better have a very, very good memory. Isn't that interesting? Why? Because that is an attribute of Satan, to lie. And as Satan tempts us to lie about how big the fish was, or what time we actually got home, or how fast we were going, or how high it was, or how cold, or whatever it was, you can be in a holy fellowship of gathering, that convocation of the saints, and be living a lie. At first, when the lie comes out of your mouth or out of your actions, it's shocking to you. But if you don't cut it off, in time, you become accustomed to the lie. You can no longer hear the pounding of the Holy Spirit. In fact, now it's a very faint, if heard at all, tapping at the window, the Holy Spirit. And then what happens from that point on is a person begins, because he's sensing or she's sensing no conviction, I've lived this way for 10 years, it must be okay with God. And that lie begins to consume them. The frightening thing is John's talking to the Christian. He says in verse 6, we lie, and the word in the Greek is we're lying, and we keep on lying about it, and we don't practice the truth. Very convicting. By the way, the word practice means to abide in the house, to live in the house, to continue on, to perform, to be a performer. Interesting. We lie, and we are not performing. We don't live in the house of truth. We don't perform the truth. We don't continue in the truth. That's prevarication. It's to live the lie. And then finally, our fellowship with God. In verse 7 is the third point, and that's the blessing of our fellowship with Him. Our blessing. Look at verse 7. And I just like to look at this as the walking with God. The walking with God. He says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the lights. Can you circle the word if? It's not a very comforting word. There are some passages in Scripture, which is a different word. Example, remember when Satan came to Jesus and said, in your Bible it says, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. In the Greek, it's not the word if. In the Greek, it's since. Satan wasn't trying to get Jesus to doubt that he's the Son of God. Satan knew that Jesus knew who he was. What Satan was trying to get Jesus to do was exercise his divine power. Well, why shouldn't he have exercised his divine power? Because he came as a 100% human being, man. This is it's an interesting word. It's not that big of a word, but it means a whole lot. That's the word kenosis. K-E-N-O-S-I-S in Greek, kenosis. It's the willful unveiling or the willful veiling of God, Christ specifically, of his power. Remember when Jesus says, no man knows the day of my coming, the return. No man knows the day. I don't know, he said. Nor do the angels, only my Father which is in heaven. You might ask, well, how come he didn't know that if he was God? Because of kenosis. He willfully veiled himself from knowing that so that he would walk by pure faith like you and I do. Remember when Peter cut off Malchus's ear in the garden? Jesus went, picks up the ear and puts it back on Malchus's head and says, put away your sword. Don't you know that I could have called down 12 legions of angels if I wanted to? But he didn't. Why? Kenosis. He could have did anything. He could have put that guy's nose on his forehead and it would have worked. But he exercised faith just like any of us would have to exercise faith. That's a tremendous thing. By the way, that's the definition of meekness. Power under absolute control. The blessing of fellowship with God. The word if right here means will you. The word implies decision. John says to the Christians at Calvary Chapel, will you? Will you walk in the light as he is in the light? The response is yes, I will, or no, I won't, based upon a moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, month by month existence with God. Tomorrow morning, you and I will get up and we will decide, I am going to walk in the light as he is in the light. That's why we encourage you. That's why we fight ourselves, don't you? To find that devotional place, that secret hideaway to be with God. Why? Because it's really hard to try to walk with God during the course of the day if we miss him just from the get-go. It's tough to catch up. We've talked about that many times in the past. We're so prone to sin, we are. We need a jump start by walking with him. And then very quickly, look at this, the washing by God, the washing. He says in verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We're in unity. We're in agreement. There's no aberrant doctrine. There's no aberrant, weird relationships going on with one another. We're on the same page. Look at this. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from what? How much sin? How much? Do you believe that? I love to put it this way. You and I cannot sin or have not sinned to the point so great that it's greater than God's ability in his blood to cleanse us from that sin. There's no sin so great that his blood cannot scrub away. And so he says, if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we're going to have fellowship. You won't be living alone off in some corner somewhere, undercover Christian. I'm one of those silent believers. Christians love to seek out Christian fellowship, and it's even more fantastic when it's in your own home. Look at the pain that is in the home of a Christian whose family are not Christians. There's no fellowship. It's so heartrending and so terrible. So costly. And he says that his blood, the blood of Jesus, cleanses us from all sin. I'll write these verses down. Very important. This thing about being washed by the blood of God. In Exodus chapter 29, verse 15, you can look at it later. I'll paraphrase it for time. When God called Moses to tell Aaron that he's going to be of the, that his sons are to be of the priesthood, Aaron and his sons, you know what they were to do? They took an innocent, innocent ram and they sacrificed that ram. And they took the blood of that ram. And you know what they did? They took Aaron, the priest, and his sons, they took their big toes on their right foot. You know your big toe on your right foot? And they dipped it in the blood of the lamb. Then they took their right ear and they put blood on their right ear of the priest. This is weird, okay? But this is cool. Then they took their thumb of their right hand and they dipped it in the blood. By the way, you want to say, well, what's with the right hand side? I don't mean to upset you, but the Bible does declare that God's right-handed. I mean, he says, I will uphold you with the strength of my right hand. Not his left, his right hand. He's right-handed. What's the deal? Right ear, right toe, right hand. And then the garments dipped. Blood. Why? That was an Old Testament declaration to who you are today. You are a royal priesthood in Christ Jesus, aren't we? And he has already dipped our thumb, our toe, our ear, our lives in the blood of Christ. And John would say tonight, because Jesus has done this for us, we can walk in this. Remember Peter says, be holy for I am holy, saith the Lord. How do you hear that? Is it, be holy because I'm holy, doggone it? Or is it, hey, be holy because I'm holy. You get to be holy because I'm holy. He shares everything of his, including his holiness. We are holy in him. We are blood washed if we are in Christ. And we're set free. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us, and the word means continuously. On and on and on, he forgives. If we were Pentecostals or if we were awake, we would have said, amen! It's incredible. Do we want to sin tomorrow? No way. Do we fight it? Absolutely. But should we sin tomorrow? We have the advocate, Jesus Christ, who with his own blood bought our freedom. It cost him everything so that it might be free for us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, taking us through the first letter to the believers written by the Apostle John. Fellowship with God, that's the title of what we heard today. And it focuses on chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series that delves into the three scriptural letters written by, well, one of the closest friends of Jesus himself. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, have you downloaded our new smartphone app yet? It's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Happens to be the same title as one of our weekly television programs. Remember now, it's absolutely free. You know, here at Real Radio, you hear us mention things like Journey, that's one of our television programs, that airs on hischannel.com, by the way. Words to the Wise, that's Pastor Jack's devotional, which you can sign up for and get via email. Our Wednesday night study, which also airs on hischannel.com live. Our Real Radio podcasts, of course. Real Life with Jack Hibbs, that's another one of our weekly television programs, and we deal with topical issues and a whole lot more on that show. Now, you'll see when you download it, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone is a great resource. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the new free app for your smartphone. Of course, you can learn more when you visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, if you'd like to talk to someone, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 1-877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.